Hi, this is Mark Gorman. Welcome to another podcast, and I'm so thrilled that today I am in New Orleans, Louisiana, my hometown, and I'm getting to interview some people who are dear friends of ours, have been for many years. And primarily, we're here to interview Abigail Duhon. Hello, Abigail. Good to have you with us.
Hi.
And tell us how old you are.
I'm 11 and about to be 12 this week.
That's right. By the time you hear this, she'll be 12 years old. So we're going to say she's 12. All right? And we're not going to ask her mama how old she is, but we're glad to have her mama with us too, because she's a very important part of this interview. And her name is Tracy Duhon. Tracy, would you say hi to the audience?
Thank you very much. Yes. Hello, everybody.
All right. So we're so glad to have both of them on the podcast with me. And the reason that we're doing this, one of the reasons is I wanted to do this just before Mother's Day, because I hate to say this, but it's so true. In our world today, so many parents are disconnected from their children, especially from age 12 to, I would say, around age 16. And in the near future, I'll be doing a whole teaching on that, about what happens in a young person's life, that there is a, that God has pre-programmed them to start pulling away from their parents and becoming their own person at that age. You know, Paul, in his writings, he said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And that verse is talking about his bar mitzvah when he turned 13. And for a girl, since girls mature faster than boys, right, Abigail? So since girls mature faster, their bat mitzvah is at age 12. So you're at that magical, wonderful age that you and your mom are going to have a great journey. And you guys are doing it right. And that's the reason I wanted to interview you, is because that there are going to be some parents who will listen to this, Abigail, whose heart is breaking right now, because they have maybe a 12-year-old, it may be a 20-year-old, it may be a 30-year-old, but they lost that child at some point. Not that they died, but they lost their connection to each other at that time because they didn't do the right things and they didn't know how to really handle what was going on. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But first of all, let's talk about the fact that you have a ministry. What is your ministry, Abigail, at age 12? I want my audience to hear that again. At age 12, she has a ministry, and it's not a new ministry. She's been in ministry for a while now. You do it through singing,
right? Through singing.
You write songs?
Yes.
You write songs as well? Tell me this. How old were you when you wrote your first lyrics for a song?
I was 6 years old.
Wow. Tracy, at that age, you probably didn't really know yet that God was going to use her in this way at age 6, right?
No, I didn't. You know, when tucking her in one night, she said, "Mom, God gave me a song." And so I said, "Okay, honey." And, you know, listening to tell you many things in a day. So I grabbed a piece of paper and just wrote it down all over the paper. And the next day, you know, I would put some things away in a little album for them. And typed it on paper and tucked it away, but then showed her dad. And it was really beautiful. But I said, how sweet, you know, that she's hearing from God, but did not know that he'd take her in this direction.
Yeah, it was more like a cute thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, you really, at age 6, it's, you know, you don't really see your child where they're going to end up and all at that young age. But that's amazing that at age 6, God, what was it?
Well, we were going through Katrina.
Oh, okay.
And we were in an apartment for our second year. Our house got flooded, so we had to stay in there for another year. And I was like, it's a lot on a little six-year-old. And so my song is all about that God will provide.
How the Lord provided for you guys?
He provided for us.
That's awesome. Because Katrina was a devastating time for so many people. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it's awesome that in the midst of that chaos of everybody fighting mold and mildew and devastation, that you got a song in the middle of that. I mean, it's amazing that God can use dark moments in our lives to bring songs out of us. It's sort of like, I don't know if you may, Abigail, you may not have heard the song The Rose, but the one where it talks about how that the sweetness of the scent of the rose is often smelled when you crush it, when you crush those petals. And your family went through somewhat of a crushing, our whole city went through a crushing experience, and yet some sweetness came out of that through you.
There's another song I wrote, and I was 9 years old, called Name's Beautiful, talking about how God's name's beautiful and call on him.
Right.
When you're scared or when you're alone or when you feel very just, there's nothing left, but there's God.
Now, when did you first know that you wanted to have, or you felt called to, I should say, I shouldn't say you just wanted to have, but you felt called to a singing ministry? When did you first feel that?
Probably when I wrote my first song. Just, it felt so good that I'm going to be ministering to kids, and I'll be able to help them, and that they're not the only one that's going through
right
problems during, like.
And kids always feel that way. They
yes.
always feel like I'm the only one going through this.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had those moments, right?
Oh yeah.
And you're like, nobody gets me. And nobody gets what I'm going through, right?
A lot of my friends are like, oh, yeah, I'm going through that, too. My family does that. Like, it just makes me feel like, wow, they really understand what I'm going through.
But now you said that one of the things I picked up on was you said that you knew that God was going to help you to minister to kids. So at that age, you already saw the target audience that God was going to use you to touch. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And tell me this, how do you hear God? Like when, you know, people, when they hear us say that God told me something, sometimes people think, well, what, did he call you on the phone, or, you know, or did he talk out loud? Have you ever heard God speak out loud?
Well, every night I talk to him, and he always like talks through me, like through my heart, and like, The voice feels very calm, and I feel very relaxed, and I'm not afraid because I know it's God.
But you're not hearing it out loud. You're hearing it in your spirit.
In my spirit.
Yeah. And that's how I hear God. Now, my dad, I'm a little jealous because my dad actually heard God speak in an audible voice. And that
awesome.
Has got to be so cool. So, I'm not too jealous, but I'm a little bit jealous that, you know, I'd like to hear God in an audible voice. But we do hear God's. Tracy, when did you know that God was calling your daughter into this ministry?
Well, at age 7, you know, she wrote that song, and at age 7, she came to tell me. I was helping with the children in Sunday school, and Abigail wanted to help. She wanted to minister to the 3-year-olds.
Really?
Well, they wouldn't allow her to do that. You have to be about 13.
And you were 7?
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to be with 3-year-olds?
I wanted to serve
My
and teach
goodness.
Them.
My goodness. I don't know any 7-year-olds that want to be with 3-year-olds. That's amazing.
It is. It was. And so they allowed her to teach with me, to be my helper.
Okay.
And so now in the last year with my new baby, I'm not serving in that. At the moment, we did serve for all those years together, mother-daughter.
Right.
But now she serves. They want her in there.
Really?
So and I'm she serves in there. Yeah. She's a part of the dream team. Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome.
But to answer your question, you know, as she wrote the second song, and both my husband and I, you know, began to see, okay, you know, as a parent, one of our, in a sense, it's called a job, but it's a privilege. That as a parent, you study your children and you begin to see giftings that they have, that God gives them, you know, both naturally and both spiritually. And when I have video, and we often watch as family movies these videos of Abigail and Josh, and she is singing, and we are introducing Abigail Duhon for about the 50th time. If she didn't get it right, she'd come back out, and she's singing all these songs, and she would make up songs. And now going back, you know, we say, wow, you know, how God was ordering her steps. But we began to see, okay, let's pay attention to this, that, you know, and you know, develop her. She didn't begin taking singing lessons. She's done piano since she's about five, but she did not begin to sing until about a year before the CD came out. So, but now, she was being very diligent about it.
Let's talk about the CD, because we haven't talked about the title or her website or anything else. So, Tracy, can you tell us what is the name of the CD?
The name of the CD is He's Listening.
And did you, was that your title that you came up with, Abigail? Or
I did not, but we were trying to think of something, and so...
A team did, right?
Yeah, well, a whole team did. And when they said He's Listening, I'm like, that's amazing, because that's what I want kids to know, that God is there, you're not alone, and He is listening.
See, I think that's so awesome that even though it was not technically your idea, when you heard it, you knew that that said what you wanted young people to hear, and that you immediately keyed in on it, and you chose that as your title for the album, correct?
Yes.
And Tracy, you were a part of that process, I'm sure,
as
well.
Yes, yes.
But it's awesome, the liberty that you gave Abigail for her to choose that title herself. I think that's awesome. And we're going to talk about some other aspects of you and Abigail's relationship. But first of all, what is your website, Abigail, if anyone wants to go to your website?
It's www.abigailduhon.com.
Okay, abigailduhon.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And if they go there, they're going to see a lot of pink, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of pink. Because yeah. When I was 10 and under, I was pink poodles, pink ribbons, pink... Everything.
I love it.
The room was pink. Everything.
I love pink, actually. I heard it said a few years ago that one of the favorite colors for men is pink, but most men won't admit to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm man enough. I can admit mm-hmm. I like pink.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But all right. So He's Listening. Is there a song by that title on the album, or what is the song that closely relates to that?
Well, there is a song, and it is called He's Listening.
Okay.
And it's like, He is there, He's listening, you'll never be alone, like what I was saying with the kids.
And now, you not only sang these, let me see, 10 songs, is it, on your album? But you co-wrote how many of them?
Well, there were 5 of them that you co-wrote.
Yes, 5 of them that I co-wrote, one of them that I've, all because of you.
Right. Okay, and then what are some of the other songs you have?
There's Let God, so it's like let go and let God. He has your heart, and He's listening. There's Dance Dance, which means I just want to dance and shout for joy. Dance Dance is about how you dance and shout for Jesus because what He's done for you.
Okay, and I noticed on your website that you have a video with that song, correct?
Yes, it's about how a girl's in a talent show, and she is dreaming about her on stage with all these other girls singing about God. And so that's what it's about.
And then you have another video where you actually teach choreography for that song.
Teach the main part of the song.
To kids so that they can do the choreography with you.
Yes.
Now that we've talked about that album, I find something very interesting. There's an organization called K5. You're part of that, right?
Yes.
Tell me what K5 is.
K5 is, it's what K5 stands for, is kindergarten through fifth grade. So that, because like once you hit the sixth grade point, it's really about, you know,
adolescents and teenagers and all, yeah.
Everything. So... they remixed like Toby Mac songs. They remixed the Newsboys, and they put it all on the CD. And it has I'm on the back of the Newsboys. My album is on the back of Newsboys.
And so this is are these kids who
yes.
are singing? They're like covering what my generation would call that is they're covering that song. In other words, they are singing a song that was first made popular
yes.
by someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how many kids are singing on the K5
There's
CD?
A lot.
A lot of them.
A lot of them.
people can get this on iTunes now, but eventually, if I understand correctly, they will be in like Walmart and everywhere.
Yeah.
They'll be everywhere that people can get these. Now, Tracy, tell me from a parent's perspective, why would a parent want this type of a CD for their children?
Well, with that age and, you know, with everything that's available to kids, this particular, you know, the CD that's attached to the Newsboys, it's upbeat, it's fun. And, you know, it's on each CD, there is the video that's on the CD. But it's something that the kids can listen to and the parents can be confident that there isn't any, you know,
profanity.
Bad language.
Right.
You know, it's inspirational, it's encouraging, and, you know, it's going to impact their children in a positive way.
What type of boundaries and guidelines do you give to your children? Because I know you have an older son, Josh, mm-hmm. who is now 15 years old, and you have Abigail, who is 12. You have little Ava, mm-hmm. who just turned a year old a few months ago, and you and your husband, Troy, are in the process of adopting a child from where?
China.
Oh, your voice is just changing completely as we're talking about this.
Yes.
Your whole face.
We're so excited.
Everything.
So thankful.
Your whole face just totally changed when I mentioned it. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful to see that, the love that's in you for that child. Mm-hmm. And it's so tragic when we hear how that in China that everybody wants to have sons and nobody wants to have daughters.
Right.
And so you and Troy, God put it on your hearts mm-hmm. to adopt a little girl from China.
Yes.
And you're going to have her soon, right?
Yes, we will, by the end of this year.
Oh, thank God.
Yes.
And what name are you going to give her?
She will be named after my great-grandmother. She will be Anastasia Grace. We'll call her probably Anna Grace with
or
Ava
Annie.
Hope. Or Annie. Yeah.
Or Annie. That's cute. Okay, so Tracy, as we're talking about your kids, you have in the teen years, and then you have infant. So I would consider you to be someone who knows what they're talking about to tell other parents how they can set godly boundaries and guidelines for their children without the children feeling like that their parent is a tyrant Do you know what I'm saying, Abigail, right?
Yeah.
Do you, first of all, Abigail, your mom, let's pretend your mom's not in the room.
Right?
Okay.
Oh, no.
Is your mom too hard on you, or do you feel that she's fair?
She's not too hard, but she's hard enough that I can learn from my mistakes, and I feel like she's just an amazing mother who has...
Now, you're not saying this because Christmas is coming up or anything like this, are you?
No.
All right. So, I mean, you mean what you're saying?
Yes.
That your mom
is... once in a while, I get, like, attitudes, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's so mean and strict. But when I really think about it, how much she does for me and that most kids, their parents are like, you're never going to go sleep over to their house. So you're 21. You're never going to do this. My mom doesn't do that. So I'm like, she's just amazing. And I'm not saying that just because she's in the room. that's the truth.
Okay. So, Tracy, what are some of the parameters that you watch for with your kids? I'm sure the internet would be one of them, right?
Yeah. You know, as I'm growing and learning as well, you know, and like you say, with my son being older, we did win the strictest parent award at his school.
Did you really?
Out of 1,500 students, yeah.
Oh, my
goodness.
We
did win last year, and I thought it was quite an honor. And as much as he may say he doesn't like it, you know, they feel loved and they are secure because there are boundaries. And, of course, whatever child, I mean, I was a child, and that's what I try to remember, is I was once a child, and I try to think through that age, you know, and give them space and grace, but at the same time, hold them to a higher standard, because that is not being upheld today, you know, in many families, and parents are having such a struggle. But when Josh was, my son was about 10, and I was having some difficulty with anger. He was dealing with anger of a school he had gone to, and all the kids got to do things he didn't. And after prayer and studying, I had gone to something. It was learning how to get to the heart of anger. And it was by loving him, meeting him where he is, and continuing to love him, even just overly loving, and meeting where he was. And at the same time, mom and dad on the same page of giving him guidelines, but letting him, you know, be free to express himself, have his own opinion, and want to do some things. But some of the guidelines are, it would be if it's internet, or if it's the TV, or iPods, or whatever there is.
Or games, the video games.
Yes, video games, things like that. It's just being involved. We don't scrutinize every single thing, but we are definitely very aware on a weekly end, or, you know, if not daily, just different things that come up of what they're seeing, what they are reading, or what choices they make. But giving them the freedom to choose, to make a decision and choose something. But mostly they know if they come to us and ask us, you know, open, just keep it open. You know, how is this, mom or dad? And, you know, we have encouraged them through the years that, you know, it's like an umbrella that's over you. And when mom and dad give you instruction or restriction, whatever it might be in parenting you, you know, you may not always like our answer. I always tell them, you have a higher appeal. I have told my son so many times. It doesn't end with mom and dad. It ends with God. If you don't like our decision, you go to God. You go in prayer to him. You can go angry and say, mom is wrong and, you know, she doesn't understand and I really want to do this. If God has it for you, he will prompt us. We are praying parents. He will show us. And we're not always right. So we need the same kind of grace that they look for us to give them. But to be involved in their daily things, be involved in their life, and even in their friends.
I was about to ask.
We
that
always
exactly.
are inviting their friends over, trying to get Josh, you know, with the new school he's at, bring friends over. Let's love them to life. Let's just have fun and just get to know who they are, what type of friends they have. It's really just staying connected to them, staying open and staying connected in their life.
You know, one of the things Gina said was, she said that she learned that if she listened to what her kids were saying, she could get an idea of what kind of friends they were hanging around with.
Yes.
Or she could get an idea of what they were watching on TV or what they were doing with their video game. She didn't have to be there every second of every day to know. If she could just listen to them.
That's very important.
And you will, if a parent pays attention, they will recognize the danger spots. So now let's talk about some of the wisdom that God's given you, because one of the coolest things on AbigailDuhon.com is there's one page called Mom and Me.
Mom to Me.
I'm sorry.
Number two.
Mom to Me. All right. Now, so I read it the wrong way. I know why, because I was the one who typed that into here. That's the reason it's written wrong, because I was the one that wrote that. Let me correct that right now. Okay, Mom to Me.
On the website, what we did was things like that. Mom with the number two, Mom to Me, is we also took the outcome for each part of the blog. When she writes to me and I write back, there is a God gave us this witty, cute idea, because kids are into TTYL, OMG, all these codes.
Right, right.
So at the very end of each one, there's like, okay, how did this turn out? And it's usually Abigail coming back to say whatever she felt through what mom spoke to her. And it might be
life lesson
learned, truth to live by. There's some different ones, but it's like TT, you know, LB.
Okay.
So they're different, like the texting codes.
Okay,
you know?
That's
so
cool.
We have that on there.
So I really love the fact that you have that on there as an example for parents and children to recognize the importance of the child coming to the parent and then of the parent having a voice in the child's life. But tell me this, that did not start when she recorded her album, did it?
No.
So I like that Abigail answered that so quickly. I really do. I think that's cool. I was looking at Tracy, but I'm glad Abigail answered that. So, Abigail, when did it start? You going to your mom and talking things through with her, if you were frustrated about something, even if you felt she had been unfair. And because I know as I was reading some of these things, at times you write to her when you say, "Mom, I feel that you were unfair to me, and that you didn't let me do what all the other kids were able to do, and I felt that you were overbearing, or that you were too controlling, or whatever else." When did you feel that the door was open with your mom for you to tell her those kind of things without her, you know, punishing you for having a different opinion? How long have you had that type relationship?
Going to her, like,
yeah,
talking to her?
Going to her and talking things through with her.
Actually, I've always gone to her.
So you don't remember when you didn't have it?
Because I could never, if I did something wrong, or if I have something on my heart that I cannot hold it, and I have to go tell my mom, because I know that she will help me and protect me. So.
That's awesome, Abigail. I just got to tell you, I'm so proud of you. I'm so very proud of you. I'm proud of your mom for the voice that she speaks into your life. But you know what? If you were not open to that voice, it wouldn't do your mom or you any good. So it has to be a two-way street, doesn't it, Tracy?
Yes.
It has to be that Abigail participates in this, and that it's not just you trying to talk to her, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I made a decision as a mom. You know, you make mistakes way back, or just growing up, or things you grew up in. And my parents are amazing, you know, and so I want to honor them. They were amazing. But there are some things that I chose to do differently. And one thing, and even maturing and seeing the generation of kids and girls, boys too, but girls need to be validated. And so my parents did validate me. They did validate me. But to feel comfortable, mom has to really kind of set that. Mom and dad, and in this case, mom, I would let Abigail know there's nothing that you can tell me that will stop me from loving you.
There you go.
I also opened up the door to say whatever it is, anything ever. And it's been a process of growing, and she changes, and it was from little things to, you know, maybe friendships and then other things, some of her thoughts, and but would never punish her. And I made it very clear that I would pray her through all those things and then encourage her, whatever wisdom God gave me, and we'd find the answers. But a lot of kids feel, and, you know, even me growing up, it's like, who can I really talk to? Who will, you know, can I talk to mom and dad without being in trouble, without it being foolish or being embarrassed or shamed that I even feel that or think that? And really, when this really began to come about, when Abigail was probably, I guess, about 9 or 10, she just had been coming to me with a lot of thoughts. Abigail had gone through a lot of thoughts that, as I have read many different books, young girls begin to go, kids, all kids, but girls begin to go through this thought process. Am I valuable? Does my life count for anything? You know, if they've given their life to Jesus, am I really a Christian? You know, just some, it can be really serious thoughts that kids have. And so there were some things she'd come to me in fear about, and, you know, come to me. And as a mom, there were some things that I would, you know, I would go to Troy, go to my husband, but they make you afraid, you know,
right.
And why is my child thinking these things and whatever. But so we began to process, talk with her, pray with her. And then because God does not waste one thing, I would encourage her that God is going to use this to help someone else. And not to be embarrassed about it, to be able to talk about it and be as open. We want it to be as open as we can be to help someone else is the whole goal. And so, you know, what turned into us just talking, we began writing it down. And here we are, both of our hearts, you know. And sometimes it's not as easy, you know, even just recent one or two little topics of things, you know. She's like, oh, I don't know if I want to blog about that, but to help someone, we have to be transparent and we have to be open and know that we can help them.
That reminds me, it's when Gina had lost all of her weight and I told her, I said, baby, you need to start your own diet. And she said, but if I do, I'll have to put my before picture on there. And I don't want anybody to see what I looked like with the before. She said, I only want them to see the after picture. And that's how you feel sometimes, Abigail. You don't want people seeing some of the frustrations that you have. And but Gina, in order to help others, she had to put the before and after so that people could see the change that had taken place. And that's what you have to do, Abigail, is they have to see the before and after with you as well. Not a photograph, but they see your before attitude and your after attitude with your interaction with your mom, correct? And so I want to encourage, and we didn't talk about this before the interview, Tracy, but I'd like for you to encourage moms to start similar interaction with their children. The Mom to Me page on her site is not just for people to know what's going on with you and Abigail.
Right.
It's for
right.
them to realize that they need to have similar communications with their children. And sometimes kids are not comfortable enough to come to you face-to-face and say stuff.
Right.
Sometimes they would write it in an email to you where they wouldn't say it face-to-face, right?
One of the practices that a parent can do, and I've done this for some time with both of them, especially my son at that age of 10, 11, 12, is I would, not every day, you know, it can be hard, but get a little notebook, and I would write him a little note. And he could come back at any point, write something, and then he could come back and he could put a thought. You know, he could just say whatever, or Abigail, and she's good at that journaling, and a lot of it she journals to God. But to go back and forth and journal, you know, maybe something that went on for the week, or, you know, with boys, they don't always want to talk a whole lot. He does like to talk, but usually it's late at night. And so, but to jot down what's going on, or just, it's just a habit, it's a practice of let mama know something and I'll let you know something. And it's like a friendship, but it's good because they can communicate and they can put down things that, you know,
that they may not say to you face to face.
Absolutely.
And that they may say, look, I'm struggling in an area that I don't really want to talk about, but I need you to pray for me or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know that's hard for a parent because you want to dig right into there and find out every single thing they're thinking.
Sure.
But yet you're able to communicate with Abigail and obviously with Josh as well on a level that helps her to be able to work her way through these things.
Yes.
And I commend you both for that. And I want to recommend to our audience, again, I want to mention the website. It's abigailduhon.com. And also, since this podcast, you got it on iTunes, you obviously can go right there on iTunes, look up her name, Abigail Duhon, and you will find the album titled He's Listening. And you can purchase that on iTunes, and eventually you'll be able to get it at your local Walmarts and all the other places you can buy CDs and everything. But it has the K5. Now, if I understand this correctly, it's a two-sided CD. Is that right?
Yes.
So one side is the K5 doing the Newsboys, correct?
Yes.
And then the other side of the CD is Abigail Duhon by herself.
Yes.
Okay. So, and if the kids want to be able to learn the dance moves, they can, what part of your site is that on?
Well, it actually is on the CD. So if you put into if you put into your computer, it'll pop up Dance Dance.
Oh, cool. That is so neat. So that's a great thing. I'm glad that they have that on there, but they can also go to your website now and they can see it on your website, right?
And on YouTube.
And on YouTube. It's on YouTube as well. I didn't realize that. So I'm proud of you guys and so thankful for the example that you're setting. And I know that I took some time out of your day to do this interview, but thank you for sitting down and doing this interview. And I pray that it'll help a lot of moms and kids out there to be able to communicate better with each other. Because as thrilled as I am about what Abigail's doing, I am so concerned about the young people of America, the young people of the world, especially if their parents are not keeping a better communication with them than what I'm seeing in many families. Right, Tracy?
Yes, and I encourage all the moms that our girls, our daughters, they need us. And they're little us. You know, they do pay attention to everything that we do. But if we do listen to them, one, we can learn some things. We can see the beauty in them, too. But also is that they do need us, and God has entrusted us with them. So it is, you know, it's a privilege. But and it is. It's hard work. It's wonderful hard work. But to see them growing up, see Abigail growing up, you know, making mistakes, but then, you know, learning from them and growing. And I'm thankful that I have the privilege to have a part of that and be able to help her, to help her on her journey in life, especially through these teen years.
And parent moms, let me say to you, it is not impossible in this world today to raise a girl, to have her innocence and her virginity when she gets married. When our daughter was planning her wedding, she said, I want everything white. I do not want anything off-white. I don't want anything beige. I don't want anything eggshell. She said, I earned the right to wear white. And she said, so I want everything, even my honeymoon night. I want to be in total white. She said, because it was not easy for me to do this, but I have earned the right by saying no. I've earned the right to be able to wear the white.
So awesome.
So maybe that's a good song that you could write one of these days, Abigail. Earn the right to wear the white. There you go. There's your what the songwriters call, that's your hook, right?
that's
your hook.
Yeah.
So that would be a good song for you one of these days. But I'm sure that Abigail will definitely be one of those wearing white on her wedding day. So right now she's thinking, wedding, my God, stop talking about wedding. I'm 12.
Yes,
I'm just
praying.
Stop talking like that. But it'll be here before you know it. So, but Abigail, I'm so proud of you. So thrilled that I got to come and have this time with you guys. And I hope that every parent out there will take the time to get this music for their children and also to go and visit abigailduhon.com and see your website, see the videos on there. I even like the part where it shows you helping in the community, helping with just the right attitude feeding program. There's a video on there about that, and I'm so glad to see you doing those things. So proud of you. God bless you. Thank you, guys. And this is Mark Gorman. Thank you for tuning in for another podcast.
Bye.
After that interview, I just thought it would be a crime if I didn't share at least one of the songs from the album with you. So here is Abigail Duhon singing the title song from the album titled He's Listening. And remember, you can buy it on iTunes right now. Just go to iTunes and use the search feature for Abigail Duhon, and she'll pop right up there and you'll see the album He's Listening. Get it for your kids, okay? God bless you as you hear this song.
Wouldn't it be nice if someone would be there and listen to you? Wouldn't it be nice?
One last word. Hope you enjoyed that song by Abigail Duhon. Don't forget to go to iTunes if you'd like to get her album, iTunes.com. Go to their store, and in the store, just type in the search engine up on the far right-hand corner. You'll see the little box there. Type in Abigail Duhon, and her album will come right up there, and you'll see it. He's listening, and I know you want to get it for your kids, so go ahead and do that. And also, don't forget, if you want to check out any of our specials that we have going right now, go to markgorman.com and click on the special offers button. And I know that one of the things that Kenneth has on there is special offers right now. Three new items that we just introduced in the last few months, and those are one six-pack is all six of my gospel singing albums, my solo gospel singing albums. All six of them are packaged together into one pack that is now only $47. You compare that to $120 if you bought them separately on the website. Now you can get all six of them in one six-disc pack for $47. You could get also Gina's favorites, her six favorite messages that I've preached, all, and you can see the titles of them and everything right there on the website, and you can get that six-pack for $47. Also, the Mark Gorman Inspirational Collection, which is six of my most inspirational sermons that are some of my newer ones, more recent ones, and you can check out the titles of those as well on the website. And the greatest deal of all is you get all three of those packs for $99. I mean, what a deal. That's less than you would have paid just to buy the six albums, the six gospel albums. That would have been $120 plus shipping and handling. And you're getting all three of these six packs, 18 discs, for $99. So check it out. Take advantage of it at markgorman.com and just click the special offers button. And thank you so much to all of those of you who keep us in your prayers and who support us financially as well. We love you. We pray for you. Our strategic partners and foundation partners, vision partners, I'm praying for you. And your names are on that list that I'm praying over every single day. And I love you guys. Thank you so much for all you do for us. We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.